Fantasy Draft is card players' top choice for daily fantasy sports action. The site offers DFS contests for the NFL, NBA, NHL, PGA, and Major League Baseball. Fantasy Draft puts the players first. With larger payout zones and contest entry caps, there are even more chances for new players to win. Check out Fantasy Draft today at cardplayer.com/link/fantasydraft, and when you sign up, you'll receive a free digital subscription to Card Player Magazine worth $14.99. All you have to do is head to cardplayer.com/link/fantasydraft and sign up to get full access to a digital archive of more than 700 issues of Card Player Magazine. And hey, you might even win some big money. Once again, go to cardplayer.com/link/fantasydraft for that free Card Player subscription and the best daily fantasy sports action around.
Poker Stories is an audio series that features casual interviews with some of the game's best players and personalities. Each episode highlights a well-known figure in the poker world and dives deep into their favorite tales, both on and off the felt.
Welcome back to Poker Stories, brought to you by Card Player and hosted by me, Julio Rodriguez. Today, we got a really fun episode featuring Noah Schwartz, who definitely has a solid poker resume with $5.5 million in tournament earnings. He has a World Poker Tour win, he has won a WSOP bracelet, and he has a WPT Alpha 8 title as well. But honestly, poker really comes in second when you're talking to Noah. The guy just lives one of those crazy, fascinating lives. It's like he's living his life on vacation 24/7. I think once you hear the whole conversation, you'll understand what I'm talking about. So here it is, my conversation with Noah Schwartz. All right, I'm here with Noah Schwartz. How you doing, man?
Dude, life is good, man.
Jet-lagged?
Jet-lag, 5.5 hours from Miami, but just here to see you.
Yeah, me, and also it's the start of the summer. You're here to win seven figures and go home, you said.
Yeah, that's kind of the plan at the end of the day. Play a little poker, maybe meet a few new people, mess around at the tables, you know, do what I do. And yeah, I mean, winning a few bucks wouldn't hurt for sure.
I'm already enjoying this because I don't know if you get the sense from me over our interactions over the years. I have a Miami persona, and then I have Julio's Vegas persona. And you always bring out the Miami in me, it feels like. I feel like I'm home when I'm talking to you.
It's about time someone brings something out of you.
I like it. So let's see. Miami Beach, Florida, born and raised?
Born and raised. I think it's kind of like a last of a dying breed. There's not a lot of just Miami natives down there anymore, so sticking to my roots.
Mm-hmm. Was that Ball Harbor or Miami Beach specifically, or... Coral Gables.
No, it was actually the North.
I'm a Hialeah kid, so you can't make me feel bad.
Yeah, I know Hialeah. Nothing wrong with Hialeah. I used to play baseball in Hialeah, believe it or not. Yeah, I was actually at the north end of Miami Beach. A lot of people wouldn't know, but it was actually the poorer section of Miami Beach. People think Miami Beach is all wealthy, but they're kind of misled. But yeah.
But still, it's nice to grow up near the water.
Yeah. I mean, a couple blocks away from the beach, you could walk over. You know, it was nice. It was nice.
So let's talk about your childhood. What were you getting into? What was little Noah doing back as a youngin?
Childhood was, I faced some adversity for sure. My family didn't have much money, so there was a lot of moving, getting evicted out of places. I think I was the only broke Jewish person in the history of mankind.
Really?
Yeah, but, you know. It made me who I am today, and helps you remain humble and remember your roots.
You still remember all the places you lived? I think we got to seven when I was a kid.
I can tell you over under is a lot more than seven for sure for me in a very short time. I had to make a lot of new friends in new schools, but you know what?
Sharing bedrooms with your brother.
Bedrooms. We lived in a hotel for like 8 months, and it was like an efficiency. Four people. It was tough. It was tough. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're in school. What were your interests back then? I know you played ball, but...
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I dibbled and dabbled in the wrong crowd at times. But yeah, I played a lot of baseball up until...
Hold on, you can't say dabbled in the wrong crowds and then just move on from that.
I didn't really want to...
Were you a street tough?
Yeah, I mean, I really didn't want to place emphasis on, you know, what I was doing. But yeah, I mean, I... You know, I grew up in a pretty rough neighborhood.
What's the worst trouble you got into?
It was actually kind of silly, but there were some things I don't know if I should divulge. But
all right, how about you say this? Who gave you the most trouble? Your mom or the cops?
Yeah, I mean, curfew was 11 p.m. and when you did it three times and you broke curfew, you ended up in juvie. And I broke curfew more than three times and got caught, but luckily that no longer exists. I mean, doesn't really.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the police have time to to go pick up the kids for being past their bedtime.
Yeah, so I hung out with a lot of kids that were older, and they thought it was wise to steal cars. So, you know, I got caught joyriding with some older kids, and that wasn't a good thing for me. I got hit in the head with a screwdriver by a cop. Told me that I'm not too intelligent for doing this and tried to scare me straight, and it certainly worked to some extent.
How many cars have you stolen since then?
Zero. Bought a few, but...
Thank you, officer, whatever your name was.
Yeah, it was actually a lady cop.
There you go. So you're playing baseball. You're a pretty good baseball player, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky to be born lefty, I think, you know.
The hot commodity of baseball. Everyone always needs a lefty pitcher.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's not too many lefties. They call me Baby Barry because I had a 12-6 curveball, so that was something I had going for me.
I pitched in Little League. I had two pitches, straight and
crooked,
and in the dirt.
In the dirt, yeah. I mean,
so you had like the full arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, if I would have had a better pitching coach, I think I really would have had a legit shot. But my freshman year, I tore all the ligaments in my elbow, and that's kind of when I was going through some adversity. My father was sick with lung cancer, and that's when I found poker. So it was, I believe in the in the thing. What's it, cliche? You know, time, whatever, just kidding. Timing is everything, you know, and everything happens for a reason. Yeah. You know what I mean? At the end of the day. So I thought it was just sort of like a blessing in disguise. Then I found poker and, I really found the love for it. I was really competitive. And then I tore the ligaments in my elbow and I was supposed to have Tommy John surgery and I decided not to have it. And just basically quit poker on a whim and just started playing. I mean, quit baseball and then started playing poker full time. And, I guess the rest is kind of history.
Yeah. So, like, it also was a nice escape for you, I gotta imagine.
Yeah.
Take your mind off your dad.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, my father was, to our family, was everything. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was very...
How many siblings?
One older brother.
You have an older brother.
Yeah, I have an older brother. So for me, it was really something that I needed to just kind of, as you mentioned, escape reality. It was just, it really helped time pass by. And it was like a coping mechanism for me. So at the time it was really my brother and I, so we didn't really have a huge family.
Yeah.
So we had to stick together and I used poker as that tool.
Did you find success like right away or was it a lot of start and stop, deposit 50, lose it, run it up, lose it?
Yeah. So the story goes sort of like this. I had an academic scholarship and a baseball and
you went to Florida International University.
FIU, yeah.
Golden Panthers.
Doing some great things now. Law school. I mean, they're really expanding at a rapid rate. But that's neither here nor there. Nonetheless, so I was taking my financial aid money. Nobody pay attention to that. And I was depositing it into party poker. My uncle also co-signed a credit card for me, which was supposed to be for books.
So let's just take stock of your life at this point.
Yeah.
Dad just passed. You're obviously at a terrible point in your life.
Yeah.
Your primary love, baseball, has now been taken away from you through injury. And now you're taking out loans to fund this new hobby that's taking the world by storm.
Yeah, I mean, I was always under the impression I was just going to do whatever I loved and I was passionate about. And, a couple friends sat down with me after my father passed and they were trying to teach me this game. And they're like, five consecutive cards are straight. I'm like, seems easy enough. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure these things out.
Yeah. So that's where you first discovered in like a home game?
Yeah, like literally like just playing for fun, literally like playing for Cheetos and stuff.
Did you win the first time?
You know what? Quite honestly, I have no idea. If I told you, I'd be lying to you. And I don't want to do that. Not at this moment, at least. It was right around the money maker era. Mm-hmm. I was 20, so yeah, it was 2003. Mm-hmm. That's sort of how I kind of stumbled upon it, I guess, luckily for me. It was difficult. I knew I really had no direction at the time. After my father passed away, I essentially wrote a 20-page letter and put it in his coffin saying everything I do in my life I was going to dedicate to him. So I decided to finish school and get my degree and whatnot and pursue a career in poker.
Yeah. Well, but what was your degree in?
Finance.
What was that? That was just like the common sense, like backup option?
Yeah, I mean, I was...
You've always been a numbers guy.
Yeah, always a numbers guy. I was going to do some... I was going to go... You know, I wanted to intern. I did a short intern with Morgan Stanley, and I was like, yeah, you know, this is kind of boring. And I just... I never wanted to work for anybody. It was always my thing. Like, I'm going to do me, and life is short. Like, do what you love, and hopefully you find it. You find what makes you happy and what you're really passionate about, and you go for it. Yeah. And that's that.
So, let's talk about that job. So, you obviously... Obviously, poker didn't go so well that you immediately jumped into it right after you graduated.
No, I actually hadn't graduated yet, believe it or not. And to roll back, before that, I was working for a subprime lending company when the real estate market was just going out of control. And I was cold calling people. I was working in Plantation, Florida, by a company by
right
the name
next
of
to my
Ames.
Account.
Yeah. 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 It was on Pine Island. Not like anyone would know who's probably listening.
I used
listening
to work
here
on Pine Island.
Yeah.
In
so
a doctor's
imagine
office.
So you were my neighbor, and I was probably cold calling you to help you refinance your house.
I had a mortgage at the time.
Yeah, I know. You were
so
rich.
So you were like one of those guys. What's that movie that just came out a few years ago?
The Big Short, maybe?
The Big Short, where they described how those... You're basically one of those guys.
Yeah, so when you talk about it, when people talk about like selling mortgage-backed securities and subprime lending, like I was calling people who like were a housekeeper and like, oh, they have a $500,000 home. Like, hey, pay off your debt, refinance, buy a new home, buy another home, buy a second home. Yeah. Tomorrow will be worth $1 million. Just go for it. And, you know, like, people would just hang up on me and I'd call them back. Like, wait, I could change your life. And, like, people would actually do it. And I'm sure I changed a couple people's lives for the better.
What was the average success rate on those cold calls and how much better were you at it? Because you're a charismatic guy. I got to imagine you were making sales.
Yeah, I mean, I had good days, but I definitely had more bad days than good because, quite honestly, most people are on the do not call list or like, how the hell did you get my number? What are you doing? I don't need help. I'm like, no, you do need help. Like, I just had the rebuttal for everything. Like, you have to listen to me. Like, this call can really change your life. It was crazy.
You had a script and everything.
No, I mean, I most of the times I would just go like, just
off book.
Yeah. Just let's go for it. Just get a feel for someone. But, my one break came, I was playing online. And it was like a Wednesday on PokerStars. And I hit a tournament for like 27,000. And I was like, oh, this is a blessing. The five diamond was starting. I just literally took my credit card, booked the flight, came to Vegas when the tournaments were in the Fontana room, Fontana Lounge. And I went and I started walking. Hey, could anyone buy my PokerStars money? I had like no cash, no money. And then I found a couple people and they bought it. And all of a sudden I had like 25,000. And 4 days later I was broke. After a few tournaments, I flew back home. Well, but I told my boss, like, hey, like I'm leaving, like, he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm going to Vegas. He's like, no, if you leave, you're fired. I'm like, well, I guess I'm fired then. I just left.
Like, with the Stars money.
Left.
Still in Stars account.
Still in Stars.
Had you been to Vegas?
In debt. Never been. Actually, I did win a satellite one time the year before on Party Poker, I think, for the main event. So it was like my second time ever.
Oh, for the World Series main event.
Yeah, World Series of Poker main event. Correct.
So that was your first WPT.
This was like my first anything, $25,000 net worth, and I just came and just gambled. And
man,
4 days later, 6 days later, I left with zero, just lint in my pocket. Like, man, maybe I need to rethink things in
life.
That
was 06 or 07?
This was probably.
Must have been 07 because Borgata was 08.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Oh, I think I ended up coming. Wait, no, later on. I came in ninth. You know what? It's all melted together at the end of the day. Went back home.
I know
broke.
Your stats better than you because I got it on my computer right here.
Yeah, it's easy. I mean, I don't. There have been a few final tables and a few, you know, things that have happened throughout the course of my poker career.
So you go broke in Vegas. You go back home to Miami.
Yep.
And what's the next step?
You
beg for your job back?
You know, I actually went in and told him, you know, hey, I might have made an irrational decision, but. He's like, yeah, I know the type of person you are. I know you're very spontaneous and you follow your heart. If you want your job back, you can have it, but you really can't pull these antics and these shenanigans anymore. And I said, I'll consider it. And then he did not like that, and that was the end of that job.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took one other job as like...
You can't cage this bird.
Yeah. I mean, just I think that people should truly just do what they love. You know, I think we only live once unless we're reincarnated and we come back as something else. But a lot of people, I feel like, are kind of locked in their own mind in prison. You know what I mean? And they're stuck to routine and they're so scared of change and they don't want to do it. But who wants to have regrets in life, right?
It's funny you bring that up because your social media is basically just nonstop positivity and inspirational quotes. Do you do that for yourself? Or do you do that for people who are following you?
So I saw something really interesting the other day. Someone who I kind of admire and look up to. His name's Jason Silva. He was on Brain Games.
Okay.
And he does this.
Is he the host?
He's the host of Brain Games.
Okay, yeah. I've seen
him. So he does this YouTube channel called Shots of Awe. And he came out saying, what's the new billionaire? And basically, his description of it was a person that can reach and affect a billion people. And at the end of the day, I haven't really placed a lot of emphasis on building my following. And it's something that I'm setting up with a publicist now, and I'm really going to try to build my brand because where I came from, not a lot of people can get out of. It's very, very difficult, but I want people to know that there is hope and, like, you can do it. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
You tell the truth. I have family who's never left the city of Miami.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, people don't understand. Like, and I say it. So sometimes I'll put a picture of me on a private jet, and it's not for me to show people, hey, I'm showing off. No, it's like, look deeper than the actual page. Look deeper and see that you can actually do it. You know what I mean? Like, I remember living with no electricity and having boil hot water. And now it's like today I'm in Vegas and I'm staying here for who knows how long. And you know what? I have freedom. And what does money give you? It's not money gives you freedom and options. Like, hey, you want to fly somewhere? You want to go somewhere? Do it. Yeah. You know? And I don't have to worry about it. You know?
Yeah.
And that's really nice. And I want to be able to also find a way to be able to help people, guide them. You know, people send me a message on Facebook. Hey, can you lend me $1,000, $2,000. Like, that's not what I want. And I get that quite often because people know that I'm involved with philanthropic things and I do nice things. You know, last year I did a contest to bring someone to WSOP main event and I put them in. All they had to do was submit a video. You know what I mean? It cost me $13,000 or $14,000. And it was just from the goodness of my heart because it's probably an opportunity this guy will never, ever have again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So,
about the carpe diem, like, and doing that for other people.
Yeah, carpe diem is I'm a firm believer of seize the day, you know?
Yeah.
Because, listen, you're here today, gone tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Where were we? Okay, you're broke. You're back in Florida.
Yeah.
Just got back from Vegas. A little humbled?
Yeah, depressed, humbled, busto, trying to figure out how I'm going to make money to play my next tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, just sort of seeking some guidance maybe, some direction, you know. I don't really – my father's not in the picture. I have an older brother, but he's busy doing his own thing, chasing women. It's just, you know, I don't have a huge family, so don't really have anyone to turn to. So it's everything falls on my shoulders, right?
Yeah.
Like, I got to figure this out because if I don't, you know.
Yeah.
I might be homeless soon. You know what I mean? There's no, you know, hi, somebody, can you lend me money? I don't know who to turn to. So I take a job in a condominium working security.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just a very high-end condominium in Miami. You know, I do a good job building relationships. I met some people, but, you know, they see me a young 21-year-old security guard. I'm sitting there. It's kind of like a dead-end job, making $11 an hour. The crazy thing is they have a conference room, and inside the conference room, what is there? A computer. I have a partner that works with me, another security guard. So what is he? I mean, the building's completely empty. Like, everyone's very wealthy. There's not, you know, a lot of not. So he works. So I tell him, listen, I'm going to go play poker in this conference room because no one ever goes in.
Yeah.
And he basically, I just have a radio, and he watches for me. You know what I mean? And I go there and grind, like, on party poker.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so it was the greatest job ever. It was the greatest job ever. It was, like, free money, but hopefully they don't ask for retroactive or something.
Yeah, they're going to call you up and be like, that was time theft.
Yeah, for real. Third degree time theft.
Exactly. So, when did the next hit happen? So you were off and running.
Yeah, so I was just working that job. And like I said, I mean, I was doing pretty well with financial aid. And then the big break was, it has to be 2006 when I won the Sunday Million. No, seven?
Seven, I think late seven because...
Seven, yeah.
Borgata, where you finished fourth for 330, that was January 08.
Oh, so yeah, so the million.
And you had the million right before that, right?
Yeah.
So maybe, or maybe you had, you hit.
Yeah,
it right.
I won the million in the Sunday warm up. I mean, the Sunday second chance within like 5 seconds of each other.
Yeah, so that's instant bankroll.
Yeah. I mean, that Sunday million was just. I mean, it was crazy. I went to a wedding, one of my best friend's weddings.
Uh-huh.
He was actually on American Choppers, Austin Weiss. Hey, Austin. So went to his wedding, was leaving the wedding. Sunday, the girl's like, let's go to the beach. I'm like, no, I have to go home. Wire $1,000 to Stars. Somehow, miracle of God, win it. 1K buy-in, pick up like a 400 ball. And stared at this computer screen for hours. I ended at 5 a.m. I was like, this has to be Monopoly money. Like, there's no way I'm going to ever see a dollar of this. Like, this can't be real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, did this really just happen to me? Like, and then, I mean, it was just a blessing from God, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
What was
know.
The first thing you did with it?
Oh, man. I didn't even, you know, to be honest, I didn't even have a, I think I was leasing a car there. And I don't even remember. I went to the Range Rover dealership. And I bought a car. I ended up getting a car in cash.
Yeah. Oh, but that was after Borgata, right?
I'm trying to think. Yeah. That's what it was. I was leasing a Cadillac CTS.
Mm-hmm.
Then I won the Sunday Million. I transferred a bunch out. I kept a bunch online. And then I just started playing the tour. And then I went to Borgata and I came in fourth.
Fourth for $344,968.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, $331,958.
Yeah, first was a lot. Yeah.
Was that the Roy Winston,
no,
Mike Madison?
That was Gavin Griffin, David Tran.
Okay, yeah.
Lee Watkinson. Yeah.
Now you got $750,000.
Yeah, I went from 6K bankroll to having a lot.
Yeah.
I took it all in cash from Borgata. My brother and my girlfriend at the time flew up.
No. Like 20K in cash and like a check, right?
No. Every single dollar in cash. Like, give it all to me right now. I'm taking it. We got to the airport. They opened up my backpack and they said, what are you doing with all this money? And I said, here's my W-2G. I just won it. And they said, my brother's 6'5". They go, is this your bodyguard? And I said, yes. And I remember flying Spirit home on the most wobbly. I'm like, I might not
from
make
the
it.
From the AC airport, right?
The money's going to burn, but who cares? Great story. A couple people shed a tear maybe. They'll say, hey. But
how much money can you fit in a backpack?
A lot. I mean, in that bag, I mean, you can fit.
You had $331,000 in cash
easy.
In a backpack?
You can put at least 500 minimum.
Okay.
Easy. Maybe more. I'm going to test it out. I'll let you know that. I'm going to do the money test, book bag.
Yeah, let's just see how many you can actually. What's the official answer?
Yeah.
If you're folding them, maybe you can get a million in there. Just nooks
easy.
And crannies.
Easy, a milski, but I'm saying 500 conservatively.
So let's go. Oh, so then you go back home. I want to hear the Range Rover story.
Yeah, go to the Range Rover dealership. I'm 23 years old. I've basically not had a car my entire life.
Mm-hmm. So you put down 25K on a very sensible Toyota Camry.
Yeah, went in with my book bag attached to my shoulders. Said, I would like this car. They said, would you like to test drive it? I said, no, I want it. Bought it. Cash. Gone. Black with basketball interior. Orange. Autobiography Range Rover. Sat in the car. And it all came to fruition. Like, wow. I went from having no electricity to I'm driving probably the car of my dreams. You know what I mean? Like, and who would have ever thought? You know what I mean? If I would have just given up after failing and just not having the results I wanted or needed, who would have known? I mean, I might be working in Bear Stearns, but they're out of business, so I probably wouldn't work for them anymore. So, some financial institution.
You might be a security job again.
Maybe. I mean, who knows?
You got tied up in some stuff.
Yeah.
So I can't even imagine what it'd be like to put down six figures in cash at a car dealership.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine it either, but I closed my eyes. I opened them, went to the dealership, and, you know, still, I mean, I felt like I was dreaming. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I couldn't believe that I went from $6,000 8 months prior to having $750,000 and never had seen more than $20,000 probably.
So, do you still have the car?
No, that car is that's 2000. No, that I'm three Range Rovers deep, and that car. I mean,
did it at least hold its value well?
No, I lot. No, 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 no. Off the lot, it went from 117 to 96,000. But you know what?
That's what happens.
Who cares?
Oh man, I wonder how you do my Honda Fit.
Hey, listen. I always said I'd meet my future ex-wife driving a Honda Fit, so maybe.
Yeah, there yeah. you go.
That's how you know they really love you.
Exactly, the tester.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't show them the money right away.
Then you show it to them.
How's poker affect the relationships?
It definitely has some strains on it at times, mm-hmm. you know, because most of the time, I mean, a lot of the girls I've dated but have kept themselves busy in certain career-oriented stuff, so it's okay, you know. I think it's important to have your alone time, right? Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's good to have a companion, but it's also vital for you to have some peace of mind and do some meditation or do whatever makes you happy.
All right, let's just go through the scores here. I remember this. I think this is back when when me and you started
dating,
conversing,
yeah.
dating.
Yeah,
the first time we started dating.
Yeah.
Let's see, the 40K at the series, that was a big score. You finished 8th. Festa Alago back at the Bellagio, 3rd in another WPT. A lot of close calls at WPTs for years, man. Yeah. I remember those 10Ks you were getting closer.
7 WPT final tables I have. It's pretty crazy.
Man, that's crazy. And then, of course, boom, 2012. It happens.
Yeah.
Jacksonville.
Virginity, WPT, gone. Ship it.
So how was that? What was that feeling like?
Yeah, you know, for me, that was some real gratification because I knocked so many times and it's like there was no one home. You know, I keep knocking. Say, hey, guys, whoa, can someone open the door?
Third.
Yeah, I think that was my 4th WPT final table and I went in with a massive chip lead. And, you know, I felt a lot of pressure. It's like LeBron, you know what I mean? You lose, you get there and you're like, you know, you want validation too because it's like... How many more times are you going to get there? And, you know, for me to win that, that was really like a turning point in my career because it just made me feel complete. You know, I played a really, really difficult player, heads up, in Byron Coverman. And, you know, it was just a battle. And, you know, it was just
where's
really,
the trophy at home?
Yeah, I have a little mantle with all these little hardware. Mm-hmm. My Alpha 8 trophy, my WPT.
That was
my,
the big one, 2015, yeah. $100,000 buy-in. You're no stranger to putting up $100,000. Win it all. Where was that at?
Florida.
Oh, that was in South Florida. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, South Florida, Hard Rock.
Another score, 100K at the 5 Diamond for 4th yeah,
back
place,
to back.
539,000. Oh, yeah, that's right. Those happened right back to back. So you got some scores here. And let's not forget the hardware, the jewelry, nice little bracelet.
Yeah.
Who would have thought you were a PLO master, huh?
Yeah, but I actually, believe it or not, the story goes, that same year, and this is, I played WSOP event, PLO 1500, and it was like, 1,400 people. I don't know how many people. Mm-hmm. And I got heads up for a bracelet in Vegas with an 8-1 chip lead. And I crumbled. I mean, I made every possible mistake you can make. And then I ran bad in the final 2 all-ins. And I went from 8-1 to 0.
yeah.
And that was sort of a crusher for me because I was so close. You know what I mean? And this is one of those things where I didn't have a bracelet, you know, I hadn't been there many times at a WSOP final table. And for me to kind of blow that was, I didn't know how I would recover. Because in my whole life, I've been able to persevere and I faced a lot of adversity and things of that nature. But this one really took a toll on me. So I said, you know, it's easy to just get knocked down and not get back up. But I said, you know what, that's not me, that's not my persona.
Yeah.
I'm going for it. And then I made a run in the main event that year. Came in 52nd. I lost the biggest pot of the tournament at the time versus Jay Farber, Kings Against Aces, for all the chips. And he ended up coming in 2nd. And that was another thing. I was just like, wow, you know, like, why does this happen to me? Like, the only way I'm going to get all in. And I said, maybe I should have folded. I was really hard on myself. And then I took a few days and kind of disconnected from the world. You know, and obviously it's great. You come in 52nd out of 8,000. You know, you have a lot to be happy for, but still shitty. I'm not gonna sit here and try to bluff you, dude, because it doesn't work.
Like, I remember you were a little
dejected.
Salty after that second.
Yeah.
Because you had the big lead.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So I just said, you know what, I'm just going to try to better myself, better my game, improve. People are constantly getting better. And the moment you think you know too much, is you lose.
Yep.
Because you have to listen and learn, and maybe people see the world differently. You know what I mean? Life is all about perspective. So for me, I said, you know what, I just went back to the drawing board a little. And I knew I just had to fine-tune a few things that I thought I was doing not perfectly or, you know. So I went to WSOPE, and then...
What city was that in that year? That was 013.
Yeah, I don't know the name of the city. It's called Les Baris, the Zubi.
It was in France.
It was in France. Maybe north of Cannes, somewhere in the middle.
It wasn't the one...
It was in Baris, B-A-R-R-I. Yeah, I don't know. Not in Berlin.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, and it was crazy because I played...
It ended up being like a $4,000 US buy-in. I'm guessing it was like a 3K euro or something.
Yeah, 3K euro. First ever mix max. So it was like eight-handed. Yeah, first one ever.
Yeah.
Correct. And I played Ludovic Lequet. And he had me like 5-1 going to the heads up. And I was like, you know what? All the pressure's off. He has all the chips.
He's where you just were.
Exactly. And I think PLO is my best game by far. So I felt super confident. I know he doesn't have a lot of experience in PLO. So I took on the challenge. And I was like, balls to the wall. Like,
yeah.
I'm going with the, like, dude.
How much do numbers play into your game?
When you say numbers, like.
Are you a technical player? Or are you a feel player? I mean, you said you got a numbers background, obviously.
Yeah, I do have a numbers background. But when I'm playing, it's a myriad of things. But I get a feel for people's mannerisms and things of that nature. I mean, yeah, if I'm getting 6-1 on a call in certain spots, I'm going to take that into account. Mm-hmm. But like if I know I'm a 4-1 dog and I'm getting 5-1, you know, whatever, you know, hypothetically, you know, mm-hmm. I'm getting 3-1 and I'm a 4-1 dog. Sometimes I just like to gamble, you know what I mean? Because I'm a sicko, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and you have to be numb to those type of things in some spots because it makes you good at what you do. The money and things can't overwhelm you, you just have to go for it. And that's what I do. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. So I guess to answer your question, field does come into play for sure.
Well, you bring up the money and how you're numb to it all.
Yeah.
Like, how do you take, like, big losses or big wins? Is it just completely numb all the time? Or do you get happy? Do you get sad anymore? Or are you just...
Well, there's a theory that's called hedonic adaptation. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's like the hedonic treadmill. So it's like, if I give you something, say I give you a Lamborghini today, right?
That'd be great.
Your level of happiness would accelerate upwards, right? But
that's right.
After a certain period of time, it sort of goes back to a baseline, you know what I mean? Same thing like when you lose someone. You love them, you miss them, but your mind is able to sort of just kind of...
Like as a protection to you.
Compartmentalize, yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. So you're like, wow, you know, I miss my father, I love him. But after years, you don't forget, yeah. But it doesn't hurt as much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I totally understand what you're saying. It's like as if you gave me a Lamborghini this year and the next year you gave me a Toyota Camry. I wouldn't be as excited if it's ready to camera.
100%. And you would appreciate it for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. But after 8 months of me giving you this amazing gift, mm-hmm. you would kind of forget a little bit.
Your expectations are now too high.
100%.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the thing with winning and losing big money. You know it's part of the job and it happens. You know, there are some losses where I have been harder than others, for sure. You know what I mean? When I busted out of one drop, played the biggest pot with Dan Coleman, I was depressed for a period of time. But... as time passed, I said, you know what? There's way more to life. If I'm going to sit and be, oh, you know what? Look around. And so many people have it. Yeah,
Vegas skyline right here.
Yeah, and not even that. I mean, just so many people have it so much worse. So I have to appreciate what I have. And yeah, it probably cost me coming in the top 5 in that tournament, which would have been amazing. But life goes on. I still had a chance to play.
And it kickstarted his crazy year.
Yeah, I changed his life for the better. You're welcome, bag? Dan.
Huh? Is that your bag?
That's Dan. He said he's listening.
Oh, he's got weird access to this recorded podcast.
Yeah. I don't know. The way he plays poker, he has access to seeing people's hole cards.
I gotta bring up something you said in April. You said on social media. said, "It simply amazes me to run into broke idiots who owe you and they're playing the same poker tournament like nothing ever happened. Enjoy karma. Best way to never have any dealings with someone, don't lend them any money."
Yeah.
Is that a cautionary tale there?
Yeah, it's a personal quote. I mean, you know, you find a lot of good people in poker, and on the other end of the spectrum, you find a lot of people that, A, have a sickness, mm-hmm. two, only care about themselves, three, don't think of the ramifications, and I think that's it. So, you know, you live and learn, and, mm-hmm. you know, if someone wants to screw me out of a couple $1,000s, so be it. When they're 60 years old and they need to be backed, maybe they'll call me.
So you got burned pretty hard? Was this a particular incident that sparked this?
There's been a few, you know, and I go on with my life. I try to do nice things to people and help them out in life, and they take advantage. So I guess essentially they mistake my kindness for weakness, but it's okay.
Have you put your foot down recently then?
No, I'm just going with the flow. I'm not confrontational, but it is what it is. You know, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. You know, if I think what's meant to happen will happen, and so be it.
All right, I got some fun ones for you here.
Cool.
I saw a photo of your shoe collection, and then I saw your watch collection. What's the biggest collection you got?
Baseball cards?
Baseball cards? Pogs, maybe? Or,
yeah, No, I'm going to get these fidget spinners. These things are pretty cool.
Actually, I just saw one at a gas station.
They're unreal. They're really special. I don't even know. Two 17-year-olds invented them. But my biggest collection as...
What are you into? What do you drop your money on these days?
I'm really into fashion.
I know. You're looking sharp. I'm looking scrubby.
If I had your looks and my money, I swear I'd be on the cover of every... I'd be on Forbes 500 already.
Oh, is that what
I don't know what happened. I mean, all these Instagram models, they bend over and show their butt and they got a million followers. I mean, it's, you know...
You get paid $20,000 a tweet.
Yeah, I know. It's the world we live in is really, it's really special. It's something different.
So what are you into? Is it just shoes or you a no. sneakerhead or?
Yeah, lately, I mean, the new Adidas NMDs have every color, every size, most of them.
Is that the old school shell top?
No, it's
like I've never seen it. I know what you're talking about.
Can I go?
Yeah, yeah. Hold on. I'll just describe it to the podcast listeners.
They come in different. They come in like different. You know what I mean? Like.
Oh, okay. It's like a running shoe. Yeah,
they're so comfy and they just slip right on. They're
oh, wow. Those look like almost like shoe socks.
Oh, that's what they are. They're sock shoes. Socks. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, they're sick, dude. They're unbelievable.
So you got them in every color?
These are in Europe. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I have at least 60 pairs of them, minimum. Oh yeah, and they just came out. Like
60?
60, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're $200 a pair, I mean.
How many of those are you not going to get to?
Oh, I don't know. I'm actually...
You'd have to wear two a day, otherwise they'd go out of style before you got to them.
Think so? I don't know, but I may need to move into a bigger place right now because my shoe collection is just really exploding, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a problem. I think I have an addiction, and I think the first thing to addiction is admitting it, right?
Yeah, but it's a little retail therapy as long as...
yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Getting hurt. Yeah, exactly. You know, and then at the end, I'll donate them to charity when they're a little beat up, so...
I read you almost went to the Fyre Festival.
Yeah, we actually... My friends who live in the Bahamas rented a house on the island. So I was literally coming home. I was in Vegas, went to Coachella, then came to Vegas. Flew home to Miami to go to the Fyre Festival. And then one of my friends showed up and said, "Hey, don't come." And I said, "What do you mean?" I'm like, "Is it not good?" He's like, "Nothing set up here." And I'm like, "Oh, great. Good thing I was about to come."
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was...
But what had you been told was going
to
happen?
Well, I mean, it was supposed to be an amazing, amazing event. They had some good headliners. I mean, it was cool. They were going to set up these amazing tents with this furniture inside them. It was just going to be like something that really had a whole different type of experience from the festival scene. And due to the fact it was 30 minutes from my place in Miami, essentially, or 45 minutes, I was hop on a plane and go there. You know, I think you should try everything once. It was a cool experience. So I was like, let's go. And, yeah, that
thing you didn't show up.
That went horribly wrong. Thanks, Ja Rule.
That's still the craziest story I think I've read this year. Like, yeah. How does it get so far along before somebody, like, how do you get to the day of and still think, yeah, we got this?
Yeah, I mean, and the sad thing is that they didn't, like, tell, hey, festival goers, by the way, there's going to be nothing there. At least let people not travel from all around. I mean,
yeah.
What they took in deposits and everything was insane. Jeez. Yeah, and I just read an article that said, like, they just told the employees, like, hey, if you want to keep working, well, nope, you won't get paid, but, you know, it's going to go next year. Like, sure. Fire Festival 2018. Sign me up. Like, where do I send the money?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, all right, let's go.
Put me on the list now.
I'm in. Yeah. Give me the top villa.
You're known for being a gambler.
Yeah.
All things, not just poker. What's your second favorite medium to wagers? A sports betting? Dice?
Yeah, I like fast-paced stuff. I like dice, yes. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. It's I just like being boisterous and messing around at the table and having fun, but it gets expensive.
There's nothing better than like a nice rowdy craps table.
100%.
Where a shooter gets on a nice little roll.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be crazy. Like, it doesn't have to be a hot shooter for 3 hours or anything. Yeah. Just a nice little table where everyone's got some drinks and is enjoying themselves.
Yeah, that's the best. You know what I mean? If friends come in town, we throw the bones, we hang out.
You don't want to be at that table where there's that guy who...
Yeah, betting the don is just like so miserable. And he's like, wow, I wish I got stabbed in the face by a stingray.
He's got holes in his sweatpants.
Yeah, it's just an absolute nightmare. But yeah, so I try to mess around a little bit. You know, I know that it's not really going to be profitable unless you have a long roll, especially the way I play. And I know from a numbers perspective, it's not advantageous.
That's what I'm saying. You're a numbers guy. You know it's the sucker bets, but...
I like action.
Yeah.
I like action, you know what I mean?
And so what's your go-to gambling story? What's your best degen story?
I don't know.
I have some with you.
Yeah, I know. I have some, but I don't know.
You don't have to. You don't have to divulge if you don't want to. I will tell people this. Mutual friend Andy Liakos worked for WPT for years.
Yep.
You once offered him.
Yes.
And this is not kidding. I believe you offered him $15,000 to legally change his name to Noah.
That is not. 80. That is 1,000% accurate. And Andy decided that it would be in his best interest to go speak with his Greek parents and say, yes. Mom and Dad, I love you. I love my last name. I love everything about it. I want to change my name.
Yeah, he wanted to be Noah Liakos.
Yeah, Noah Liakos. I don't know where I haven't seen him in a minute.
Grand. No, I think he stopped working for WPT last year. But he worked in the poker industry for almost 10 years. It's crazy.
Nice kid.
But yeah, but the way he tells the story... He walked into his all hyped up because he really thought he was going to go through with this and get this $15,000. So he goes up to his dad. He says, Dad, you're not going to believe this. I got this poker player on the hook for $15,000. All I got to do is change my name to Noah. What do you think?
Yeah.
I think Andy might even be named after his dad.
Yeah.
Because what he said next was, oh, why don't you just let Noah be your dad? Yeah. And then he stormed out the room.
Yeah. And the thing was that it wasn't a permanent name change. It was only for a set amount of time, which I think was 12 to 18 months.
He didn't go through with it.
Yeah. He said, I have to change my name, the mail, this, that, the other. It didn't work out too well with his family.
You once offered me and my wife $10,000 to name our first child Noah. No. Now, I don't think that would have been good for our daughter.
Yeah. But it's actually the most popular baby name, actually, now.
It's making a huge comeback.
Yeah, Noah Strong, dude. Yeah. Strong. I mean, Russell Westbrook just had a baby named Noah. Russ, you're welcome, dude.
Noah Westbrook sounds better than Noah Rodriguez, I think.
Yeah. Sounds like a statistic, an anomaly or something.
Yeah, yeah. That's a family I want to go to a party with.
Yeah. Could be all right.
More interactions between the two of us. I once went to a Heat game. I was very excited. I was in the upper deck. I'm watching Giannis take on my Heat. I was excited to see him for the first time. And I'm looking down at the floor, and holy shit, there's Mayweather and Pacquiao, and they are hammering out a deal to fight each other. And who's two seats to the left? Noah Schwartz.
Noah fucking Schwartz.
That was crazy.
Who would I ever thought, man?
Yeah.
From no electricity to sitting next, and actually I was one seat. I was next to Pacquiao.
You were next to Pacquiao.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Pac-Man's my boy. Pac-Man's my boy, though. Yeah, I actually had the pictures, and TMZ called me to try to buy them from me, but I refused. Yeah. They had some better footage with the video and stuff, but I did have some cool pictures. Yeah, timing is everything in life. Got lucky.
Did they finalize the fight that day?
Yeah. I mean, I was actually throughout the game talking to Pacquiao, or like going back and forth, and like Mayweather were saying, and I was joking with him because, you know, I used to see him all the time when he used to play poker, a little bit of commerce and stuff like that. I feel like it was almost set up. You know what I mean? Pacquiao was in town. Mayweather came up at halftime, create all this buzz, and that's what everything is. You know what I mean? Get people talking. I think that's so.
Did you bet the right side on that one?
Yeah. How can you? I mean, I never not bet Mayweather. I mean, he's.
I made a large for me sports bet on Mayweather, and it was a nice no sweat win.
Yeah. Well, most of them are. I mean, he's so tactical, and his performance is really just unprecedented. His ability to he's sick.
I've got some fun ones to go through here. Can you talk about the worst bad beat you ever put on anybody?
Worst bad beat? Well,
mentioned the bad beat on you.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was
Jake Farber.
It's not really a bad beat. He had the best hand, so.
Oh, he had the kings.
He had the aces. I had kings.
Oh, I thought you said eights.
Oh, no. He had aces. No, he had aces for $8 million. Yeah. All right. First hand of day six. So it was. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Never mind, Jay.
Yeah. Tight fuck. Yeah. I'm trying to think. There has to be one really bad one. I remember I did a 10 deuce to someone, to aces one time. Yeah. The main of that same year. I mean, pot wasn't like day five, like guy min raise. I had 10 deuce suited. The Doyle, I was like, big blind, I'm never folding here. Comes like 10, 4, 5. And maybe the guy had 25 big blinds. He bet, and I just put him in. Like, it's not awful. He had two aces, just bing, deuce on the turn. The guy got up and like berated me. He's like, are you crazy? What are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. This is my first tournament. I'm sorry, sir. I had a 10 and no other cards, and
there's also a 10 on the flop.
What's I mean, like, what can you have? Like, who cares? And so whatever. He was. I don't know. I don't know if there was a. There's probably a worse one somewhere, but
that's all good. Yeah. What about the biggest pot you ever won or lost that you can divulge?
Tournament.
Sure. If you want to do a tournament equity.
No, that wouldn't be fun. Well, lost one drop tournament for sure.
Yeah.
Dan Coleman. 14 million chip pot when average was 6.5 million with 16 left. Then I just went on tilt and just dusted off all my chips to Antonio. Which made me look really bad on television, but it happens. They don't show what leads up. I mean, they do, but nobody really knows.
What's your proudest moment on TV?
My proudest moment? Jesus Christ, dude. Do you practice all this?
Do you have like one like go-to YouTube clip?
No, I actually don't watch myself too much. I know I end up cursing too much, and a lot of people who are like fans of mine are like, listen, you got to stop cursing and conduct yourself in a better manner. I'm like, it's just my emotions. It's
not the way little Noah was raised.
Like, what the fuck? Why would you ever do that? It's not towards the player. It's like me being mad at myself, but people mistake it for something else. Once again, it's perspective, but on television, they cut whatever they want. But my proudest moment... Oh, I don't know, dude. I really don't know. I don't really have a solid answer for you.
That's all good. That means you had too many moments to count.
I don't know. Toughest
time of your career?
Toughest time.
Was it after you got back from Vegas that trip?
Yeah, it's for sure between the main event and coming in second. And I had a profitable summer, but for me, I set the bar extremely high. I hold myself to the highest expectation, you know what I mean, in life. And I don't settle. So for me, that was really demoralizing. Just because.
Two close calls.
Yeah, exactly. Like second, and then the main event, like we're down to six tables. There's 60 people left. I mean, I have 4 million chips at 50,000 big blind. And I'm cruising. Like I'm never getting all in unless I really have kings or aces, I think.
Yeah.
And it was the first hand of the day. We talked outside. He said we weren't going to play pots together. And this just happened. It was just like. I was just set up, you know what I mean? And that didn't even bust me. That was another thing. I still had 800,000, but it really crippled me. So, yeah, that one stung a bit. I mean, a few WPT final tables for sure also stung a bit. And one drop was tough. Six from the money.
You've been all over the world. What's your favorite tournament destination? And then what's your favorite destination?
Yeah.
I want both.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to you.
Because you're a well-traveled man.
I'm a well-versed individual.
Have you been to... How many continents have you been to?
I don't know.
You got four yet?
Yeah, I think so. I've been to South America. Been to... Where else have I been?
The fifth is the toughest.
Australia is a continent, right?
Yeah.
I've been there. All right, I've been there. Four for sure.
Yeah.
Where else?
Europe, Asia, Africa. You ever do the Africa tournaments?
No, so... Europe, Asia, mm-hmm. North America, South America.
Antarctica, yeah. Everyone's favorite tournament.
No. Yeah. The Igloo Challenge?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've been there once. I was in my boxers and the penguin bit my tushy.
You have to buy in and
yeah,
you fish. Might,
yeah, exactly. That is, yeah.
So what's your favorite tournament destination?
Love Barcelona.
Yeah.
Love just... people, the culture, the food, hanging out at the W, just everything. I mean, the nightlife is pretty good. Where else? I mean, I haven't been to Germany. I love Cannes. And, I mean, I don't like Monaco so much. I think everyone's a bit ritzy and like, oh my God, I'm better than you. I drive a cab and it's a Mercedes S500.
I say the same thing about Monte Carlo.
I'm not too fond of it.
The only thing you can do there is gamble and show off in your car.
Yeah, it's
there's,
all.
There's no bowling alleys in Monte Carlo.
Bowling alleys. It's like, here, would you like a Coke? 36 euro. Yeah. Would you like some sushi roll? 77 euro. Sure. And then it's, I don't know. For me, it's not.
Uh-oh. Delivery.
No, it's. Life is bad. People work hard and make $12 an hour, so appreciate life.
Yeah, what was that, mini bar?
No, it was turned down service.
Oh, that's a fancy service.
I don't even know what that means.
Only the best.
Yeah.
I think they just unmake your bed for you.
They do.
Why don't they just leave it in that
in
that state all the time?
Think about how much money Aria actually has to spend to keep the maids working to do turn down service.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why make the bed in the first place? Yeah. Everyone wants the turn down
service. Who understands life? It's really complicated.
This is a good one. Who's the best poker player that we've never heard of? You got any buddies you want to shout out that are flying under the radar?
I don't know. I don't know if I play that we've never heard of. I don't know if I play enough.
Or just that don't get the respect that they should. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I played with the kid who won the Bellagio Cup last year. He played pretty well. I played with him in the WPT Tournament Champion. James Romero, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he played really well. He was a bit spewy, but, I mean, there's small sample size, but I thought he played pretty well. So I would...
James Romero, there's your shout-out.
There you go, buddy.
Did you look up to anybody in the poker world, you know, like back when you were just starting to get into it? And did you ever get to play a pot with that person?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that I looked up to him because of poker, but we were like kind of from the same neighborhood. We knew a lot of the same people, and that was Grindr.
Yeah.
And him and I are very close now. We've played a lot of big pots in cash and in tournaments. He's knocked me out of several big events.
Who's gotten the best of who if you had to go back to every pot you've ever played?
In cash, I definitely have the best of him. In tournaments, him in a landslide.
He runs pretty well in those tournaments, doesn't he?
Yeah. He has a very unorthodox style, but I don't really think anyone can really accumulate chips better than him, or dust them off, actually, for that matter. But yeah, it's all love. I mean, he's a beast, you know what I mean? And he's a great, good-hearted person. You know, doesn't have a bad body.
I remember first starting to play in South Florida, and the Grindr had a little bit of a reputation. And this was back in the days when there wasn't even in poker in South Florida. We were playing... $1, $2 limit, and that was the most you could do.
Yeah.
But he was, you know,
yeah,
he sit and goes. I think his wife was dealing at the time, cards.
Ex-wife, but yeah, he was way ahead of the curve for sure.
Yeah.
He was doing things that people weren't doing until years later, so.
You're right about accumulating chips. That guy does manage to get a hold of a lot of chips fast.
Very fast, yeah.
Okay, so you're wearing headphones at the table. What are you listening to?
You know, my mood really changes. You know, it's I listen to a lot of, I mean, lately it's been, I mean, I can go from Coldplay to 90s rap to, I mean, I listen to a lot of podcasts too.
Okay.
Yeah, I listen to like.
Shout him out. What do you
Yeah, into? Tim Ferriss. I listen to him a lot. I don't know why I haven't been on his show yet, but yeah, I sent him a message like, yo, dude, you need to get me on there. Like, I'm a jack of all trades. Like, get, you know, he has a lot of, I don't know if you're familiar, but he has a lot of cool stuff also. I read his book, Tool of Titans. He's a beast. He's super beast and just super bright, well-educated guy. So I do that. And then, you know, sports stuff, just like random stuff. I mean, it,
I don't know. You brought it up, sports. I know you're a Miami guy. All four teams, right?
Till I die.
Yeah?
All my squads.
Our Marlins are a little sad these days.
Yeah, I think they're going to dismantle them. They're gonna trade my boy Stanton.
I love Giancarlo Stanton. I wanted him to be here for the next decade. Yeah. But honestly, I don't see a way he's going to succeed in Miami.
Yeah, it's only if Jeter and these guys come in with their bid and they purchase the team. But $30 million a year is steep.
The team just seems like they're still hung over from last season for obvious reasons, obviously.
Yeah. Jose Fernandez, that was extremely tough. I went out with him a few times in the nightclub and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just a nice, I mean, obviously humble, comes from nothing. I mean, escaped what he escaped in Cuba. And I mean, it's just a really, really sad story. I think about it, you know, and I think people maybe forget a little bit. It's one of those things where as time goes, people don't really remember. But yeah, I mean, young, about to set up his family for life.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Sickening.
Yeah, real sad.
But you obviously through poker, and I know you don't like to talk about details, but you've obviously found yourself in a position to cozy up to some celebrities and players. What was like the biggest starstruck moment?
You know, I try to just kind of take it in stride. You know, I've had an opportunity to play, meet, just casually hang out with a lot of heavy hitters, but you know, nobody wants to just be in that situation and just have people gawk over like, oh, this. Yeah. So you just kind of you gotta
the
chill.
The reason you're there is because you can sit at a table with these people and not be the guy who's like, oh my god.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm totally here right now.
Exactly. Like the first time I met LeBron, I was just like, yo, I wanted to like snap a pic with him, but
yeah,
like, yo, Bron, can we take a pic? And be like, look at this guy, you know what I mean? Like, I took Greg Merson to the game with me.
Yeah.
And before the game, like, LeBron came up and hugged me. And and Merson was like, dude, dude, you're a boss. And I was like, that was pretty cool, actually, dude. Like, this is Bron.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty good. That's like, awesome. That's a cool moment. That's like, awesome. I was like, yo, I felt cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but you can't act like it's cool.
Nah, I was like, yo, Bron. He's like, Shorty. And then Merson was like, so that was pretty dope. But you know what I mean? It's I've come a long way, and it's just, it's unfathomable to think that I've positioned myself or know people that, you know, I've done a great job building relationships, and I've been lucky to be given these opportunities and hang out with certain people and whatever. They're everyday people.
But obviously you play with a lot of athletes and stuff. Like, what league plays poker more? NFL, MLB, NBA? It seems like NBA is the way to go.
NBA for sure. They may play a different variation of poker.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, obviously there's not as many guys in the NBA as there are in NFL. So probably from a percentage-wise, I would definitely say the NBA. I think on a lot of their flights and stuff, they're definitely taking part in some form of poker.
I interviewed one of the part owners of the Golden Warriors.
Yeah. Chamath,
who plays poker, you know, he was telling me about some games they play on the plane.
Really?
You know, to and from
games,
you know.
Yeah, so I mean, imagine. I mean, and there's a lot of guys, I mean, they just love it. You know what I mean? I don't know for what reason. I know Jordan, when in his day, played a game.
He was a gambler.
Yeah,
I mean, that guy was a gambler.
Still is.
Yeah.
I mean, he loves it. But you know what I mean? I guess you get to a certain point in your life where, one, either you're bored, and you're like, you need something to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you need action. We need action.
We end the podcast with the same way every time, with a random question from a random question generator.
Really?
Which is popping up. Oh, this is a good one.
Are you bluffing, dude?
No, I'm not. Really? All right, go ahead. Wanna read it?
I believe it. Okay.
I thought you were gonna read it out loud. All right.
I was thinking about it.
Yeah, if you knew you only had 24 hours left to live, oh, this is like perfect. What would you do? This is like on theme with.
Yeah. You know, I need 10 seconds to really give this a thorough, real answer that's genuine from the heart.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to come up with specifics.
No, I know, I know.
I'd like to know your last meal for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, if I had 24 hours left to live, there'd probably be a couple girls I would call so I could make love to them. Yeah, I don't know if they'd accept the offer, but I would try. secondly, I would probably, I would definitely spend some time with my family.
Not all 24 hours, though.
No, just like 180 minutes max. Like, hey, I love you guys. I'm not going to be around much longer.
Probably do food at the same time.
These are my assets.
Kill two birds with one stone.
Here, please help leave my legacy.
Yeah, here's the rest of my estate.
Exactly. Here's my irrevocable living trust. I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I do something outrageous, like probably jump out of a plane, get my heart going. What else would I do?
You ever jumped out of a plane before?
I have not. It's something that's kind of on my list of things to do. I would like to. I would like to cage dive with the great white sharks.
I imagine your bucket list can't be that long. You've done a lot.
Yeah, I know, but still, there's things that.
Or maybe it's long, I'm but it's like a crazy person.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So like the bucket list is. It's extensive, but at the end of the day, it's just things I'm not really willing to try it in the event that I end up dying.
But it might kill you.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to at least live until I'm 50, and then when I'm 50, whatever.
After that,
balls to the wall, who cares? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. When you need Cialis every day, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. So sorry, you want, yeah.
So you want to jump out of a plane.
Yes, jump out of a plane.
Cage dive with sharks.
Yeah, things that are just outrageous. You know what I mean?
What else?
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
You ever driven above 200 miles an hour before?
I've driven about 160.
Okay.
I don't know. It doesn't really sound too exciting to me doing 200 miles per hour.
That's fast in a Range
Rover. I would want to do things that would have a positive impact on the world somehow, some way.
In 24 hours?
I don't know what I could do, but I would want to do something. So if you got any ideas and you find out that I'm terminally ill, let me know and make sure.
I mean, if I knew I had 24 hours, I would do something illegal. Yeah. Because who cares? There's no consequences.
Yeah, there are a couple people I'd like to chop up, but
I'm just kidding. No, I don't mean like
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Joke. Being facetious, guys, relax.
Oh man.
No.
Ending the podcast on a dark note.
No. I'm a nice person.
Stop sharpening that knife.
You see me at WSOP, come say hi to me. Tell me a story. No bad beats. So if you tell me a bad beat, you owe me $100.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm a nice personal person. I like meeting new people. What would I do in 24 hours? I'd definitely go to Carbone and eat a veal parm and some fettuccine Alfredo. Really? Clog my arteries.
All those carbs?
Okay, yeah, all those carbs. Exactly. Life is so short anyway.
It's perfect. That's perfect.
Perfect.
Noah, thank you so much.
You're a gentleman and a scholar. Scholar part I don't know so much about, but you're definitely a gentleman.
You got a third of that right. I'm a man.
Man.
Sometimes. Most. Don't ask my wife. Thank you so much for having me. Good luck this summer.
Thanks.
I look forward to interviewing you after you win the one drop.
Yeah, that's the plan.
So go do it.
Thanks for your time.
We did it. That's the show. Thanks for listening to the end. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Special shout out to Chef Charles 888 for submitting a review and a question that we used on this episode of the podcast. Chef Charles 888 or anyone for that matter, go ahead and send an email with your review to pokerstories@cardplayer.com and we'll hook you up with a free digital subscription to the magazine. Thanks again to Noah. You can follow him on Twitter @NoahJSchwartz or visit his website, noahschwartz.com. See you next time. Don't forget to head to cardplayer.com/link/fantasy draft for top-notch daily fantasy sports contests and to claim your free digital subscription to Card Player Magazine. If you are a fan of football, baseball, basketball, hockey, or even golf, then you'll love Fantasy Draft's larger payout zones and contest entry caps, which gives new players a great shot at winning. Once again, cardplayer.com/link/fantasy draft.